Good morning and welcome to Start the Week, a ministry of Salem Reformed Church, Ashley, North Dakota. I am James Grossman, pastor of Salem Reformed, and I would like to thank you for joining us this morning. As we come to God's Word this morning, we come to John 19, verses 28 through 42, the death of our Savior. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Therefore, because it was the preparation day, that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath day was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true. And he knows that he is telling the truth, that you may believe. For these things were done that the Scripture might be fulfilled, none of his bones shall be broken. And again another Scripture says, they shall look on him whom they pierced. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus, and Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. And they took the body of Jesus, bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as what the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, in which no one had yet been laid. So there they laid Jesus, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. Thus far the reading of the Word of our God. May he add his blessing to it. As we come to God's Word this morning, we see Jesus, our Savior, on the cross, and we see him giving up his life. We see the incredible use of Scripture, the testimony to us that Christ truly did die. He did not faint. He did not swoon. He truly died. And that is most important for us as Christians, that Christ gave his life, that Christ went to the cross for the purpose of saving us from our sins. There is no other way of salvation but by the death of the Son of God. He was true man so that he might bear our sins. He is true God that he might pay the penalty of our sins. And so as we look at our Savior this morning, our passage of God's Word, we see that our Savior finishes his obedience and sacrificial work for salvation. Our Savior finishes his obedient and sacrificial work for our salvation. We'll see three things about this in God's Word this morning. First of all, in verses 28 through 30, we see that he is fulfilling all righteousness. Second of all, in verses 31 through 37, we see that the soldiers make sure Christ is dead. And we see in verses 38 through 42 that the disciples display that Christ was dead in burying him. So first of all, we see that Christ is fulfilling all righteousness. We read, "And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, said, 'I thirst.'" Now he's going through the standard physical consequences of crucifixion. His body is being torn apart slowly in great pain. We read in Psalm 22, verse 15, "My strength is dried up like a pot shard, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death." And so we see our Savior on the cross giving his life. We see the prophecy of what they give him. Psalm 69, verse 21, "They also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." And so we see our Savior on the cross, paying our penalty. He is thirsty because of the heat of the day, because of the effects of crucifixion. And so he cries out, "I thirst." Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there. Verse 29, "And they filled a sponge with the sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth." So Jesus, when he had received the sour wine, said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. Jesus, verse 28 says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished. And again, he says here, it is finished. Christ is not distracted from his purpose of the crucifixion. He is here to finish the work of salvation despite his agony, despite his pain and suffering. Yet he is here to do the work which he was sent to do. John 4:34. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Jesus prays in John 17, verse 4, I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given to me to do. As we look at this, we have to ask the question, what is finished? Now, Christ has been praying, has been teaching about what it means that he has finished the work. It means Christ's glory. He has received the name above every name. John 17, 4-5. I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given to me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Jesus has finished the work that he came here to do. He has finished the sacrifice of himself for us. He has finished the obedience which he had to obey on our behalf. Our salvation, Hebrews tells us, is finished in Christ on the cross. We do not add to it. Christ has accomplished all of our salvation in our place. We read in Hebrews 10, verses 11 through 14. Every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. And so Christ gave his life. His sacrifice has finished our salvation. There is nothing more that we add to it. It is perfected forever. If we have to add to it somehow upon this earth, then it's not perfect. And so it must be that Christ died, gave his life so that we might have eternal life. The teaching of Christ is not finished. Jesus has promised the Helper, the Holy Spirit, and he spends his time after Jesus' resurrection teaching upon this earth. So that teaching is not finished. But Christ's sacrifice, Christ's obedience, our salvation is finished on the cross. And then we read verse 30, and bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Again, we are reminded that this death is unlike any other death in the world. Christ didn't die as we die. His life was not taken from him. He died giving up his life, giving up his spirit for our sins. John 10, verses 17 through 18. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. No one takes it from me. Christ gave up his spirit. So we see that he is fulfilling all righteousness. Now we see that the soldiers make sure Christ is dead. The Jews again are feigning righteousness. They are trying to be obedient to the letter of the law. Therefore, because it was the preparation day that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. They are to take down the body of the innocent Christ so that it wouldn't be up over the Sabbath, that they would break the letter of the law. They had already broken the heart, the soul of justice in crucifying the innocent, the perfectly innocent Savior. Deuteronomy 21, verse 23 tells us of this law. His body shall not remain overnight on the tree, but you shall surely bury him that day, so that you do not defile the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. For he who is hanged is accursed of God. Our Savior's body was not up overnight to obey the law from that perspective. But as we see this here, we see that they had entirely broken the law in putting the Christ, the innocent Christ, upon the cross. We read that Christ was dead already a long time. We read in verses 32 through 34 that the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead. They did not break his legs, but one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. We see this witness of Christ's death to us. Christ was already dead, and they did not then break his legs. When they pierced him, blood and water, the red blood cells had already begun separating from the rest of the blood, so the blood and the rest of the blood were not mixed when he was pierced. Now this takes some time after death. Christ had died. Our Savior had given his life. And there is no question, but yet that is for us, for our eternal life, that Christ had died. He had fulfilled Scripture even in death. Now we see verses 35 through 37. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may believe. For these things were done that the Scripture might be fulfilled, not one of his bones shall be broken. And another Scripture says, they shall look on him whom they have pierced. These things are written so that we may know the truth of Jesus' death on our behalf, described in forensic detail as evidence of the passion and death of our Savior. Verse 35, he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth so that you may believe. John's purpose in writing his gospel, John 20, verse 31. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Christ is fulfilling Scripture even in and after his death. Jesus' manner of death had been prophesied, and Christ fulfills it. His bones were not broken, he was stabbed. The blood and water that flows shows his death. Salvation could come to us only by the death of the Son of God. Now the disciples bury Christ. Again, this demonstrates that Christ is truly dead. We read in verses 38 through 42 concerning this. Christ's death again is demonstrated. The disciples, Joseph, Nicodemus, participate in the burial of Christ. They embalm him, as was done at the time, wrapping him in a cloth with herbs and spices. Verse 40 says, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. This was no swoon. This is the death of the Son of God. The soldiers show that he was dead. The disciples do. The tomb does. We worship the risen Lord, whom death and Satan could not hold. Mark 14, verse 8 says, she has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Jesus, our Savior, was laid in the tomb. We read that Christ is again demonstrated to have really died. He is laid in the tomb, one who was dead. He rises again from the dead. He has power to lay it down. He has power to take it again. Our Savior was truly dead. He went to the cross. We see the forensic detail of the Gospels telling us that he has died. And he died for our sins, so that those who believe on Jesus Christ might have eternal life. Amen. Thank you for joining us this morning on Start the Week. We are giving away free copies of the Heidelberg Catechism, a summary of the scriptural doctrine of sin, salvation, and thankfulness, including an explanation of the Apostles' Creed, the Ten Commandments, and the Lord's Prayer. For your copy, please call 701-288-3265 or mail at Salem Reformed Church, Post Office Box 345, Ashley, North Dakota, 58413, and we will be glad to send it to you. If you have any questions concerning the Bible or in general, or about anything we cover on Start the Week, please contact us. We invite you to join us at the Salem Reformed Church in Ashley, North Dakota, at 209 First Avenue Southwest. If Ashley is too far away, we have churches of the Reformed Church in the United States in Minot and Anamoose in North Dakota, Aberdeen, Eureka, Harriet, Hosmer, Pier, Watertown, Menno, Mitchell, Rapid City, Sioux Falls, and Vermilion in South Dakota, and in Hamburg and Golden Valley in Minnesota. We would like to invite those in Jamestown, North Dakota area to Bible studies being held at the Gladstone Inn and Suites. That's just north of downtown Jamestown at 111 2nd Street Northeast. These will be on Sunday evenings at 6:30 p.m. Again, if you have any questions, that number is 701-288-3265. Well, that's all the time we have this week. We at Salem Reformed Church wish you the joy of knowing God this week and forever.